Praise the Lord. Amen. It is good to have some fun in the house of the Lord and to laugh. Amen. And to have a merry heart and a merry spirit. Amen. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And the Lord gives us a joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. In all seriousness, we're going to move forward in the things of the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. You're probably going to laugh some more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's just how he made me. Amen. Just how he made me. If you look with me, please, in the book of Ephesians, we're going to be moving into another dimension, another realm from where we have been. We had focused. We come out of a series of messages about soul winners, did we not? Soul winners. And we learned that evangelism is important. We learned the business of soul winning, did we not? We also learned the burden of soul winning. The business of soul winning was catching men. Amen. The burden of soul winning was preaching the gospel. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Amen. And then we talked about the behavior of soul winning was to gain the more. Amen. We want to continue the behavior of a soul winner. I just don't get one say. I want to continue to gain the more. And then we finished with the blessing, amen, of soul winning. And that was saving souls. Amen. That, you know, that's the blessing of it, that souls are being saved and they're coming into the kingdom. Today, we're going to move forward into a new series of messages. They tie together because there's one thing to evangelize, but there's another thing to equip. Somebody say to equip. See that as we go out and we go and win souls, we just don't win them, but they need to be equipped. Amen. And so for the next several weeks, I'm going to be speaking on the series of messages on equipping the saints. Somebody say equipping the saints. Say if I am not already equipped. I'm going to know how to be equipped for the Lord. Not only that, but how we're going to equip those that are without when they come in the house of God. Amen and amen. See, we need to understand this because there is a plan and there is a pattern. And God has the plan and he has the pattern, and it is him that establishes that. And whatever we do as a house of God, we want to do it in accordance to him. Not because our flesh wants to do something, but we want to do it in accordance to him. Are you at Ephesians chapter 4? Please go with me to verse 11 here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Somebody say the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so we're going to hone in that place there for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting of the saints there is also in other translations. In the NIV, it means to prepare God's people. In the New Living Translation, it means to equip God's people. And also in the New American Standard, in the King James, we see here it means for the perfecting of the saints. And then again, the New American Standard for the equipping. So we see equipping several times. So this word perfecting also takes on the connotation of training up, of equipping, amen, the saints. All right. Somebody say the equipping of the saints. Every saint must be equipped after they have been saved. Amen. Every one of us have to be equipped. Amen. And what usually happens sometimes if we're not equipped, we move out as novices and we try to do things for God and we end up not only getting hurt, but hurting other people. Amen. And so after we come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through someone sharing the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we are taken out of the enemy's camp, amen, and then we're placed in the house of God. Somebody say the body of Christ. Amen. So we come out of one body, the body of the unbelievers, and we're moved into the body of the believers. Well, when you get into that body of believers, then you need to be equipped. Amen. And so we're going to learn, and this is just the first message that we're going to deal with. The series title is Equipping the Saints. But today I want to speak from the subject of embrace the gifts. Somebody say embrace the gifts. Embrace the gifts. Embrace the gifts. is what we want to deal with here today here. Now, what I want us to understand, it says that when this equipping the saints or the perfecting of the saints here, we see here that there are five particular people or offices that he talks about here in the book of Ephesians. And this is Paul. Paul said that he was an apostle. Matter of fact, go over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to come right back to this spot here, but I want you to see this. Look at 1:1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You see that? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So we see that Paul is what? An apostle, is he not? Yes. Not only is he an apostle, but he is also a disciple. Somebody said disciple. He was a disciple before he came an apostle. Yeah, right. See, you just can't get saved and become an apostle. Right. You can't just become a pastor and all of a sudden become an apostle. You know what I'm saying? You got some pastors ain't pastoring 15 people, but they're an apostle. You hear what I'm saying? You got some pastors just started pastoring, they already call themselves apostles. I'm here to tell you that we got to get an understanding so that you can embrace the right gift, because you can embrace a false gift, or you can embrace a gift that has shown itself way too soon. That's not mature in the gift. And again, you're going to get hurt in the midst of that. And so we're talking about embracing the gifts, because the gifts, you need to embrace the gifts, because it's the gifts that's going to help you to mature and to grow up in the things of God. I want you to understand, you don't grow up by yourself when it comes to the kingdom of God. Now think about God. Why would God bring a child into the world and just throw him up in there and say, y'all grow up on your own? No, his design and his pattern is for a child to grow up into a what? A family. And that family is to consist of what? A mother and a father. Amen. With the father being the head, with Jesus Christ, God is the head. I mean, head of Jesus is God. Head of man is Jesus, then the woman, then the children. Okay, you see that's the order. Amen. That's the order. And so God, when a child is born, they come into a family. And they come into a family, and that family has an authority structure in it. It's called parents. And those parents, their main goal is to make sure that you grow up and mature, amen, in the ways of not of this world, but in the ways of God. Amen. And so, but the fight that the parent is having is the world is trying to bring the children up at the same time that the parents are trying to bring the children up. Amen. Now, here go where you miss it at. If you're not in the Lord yourself, if he ain't wrapped his arms around you, he certainly can't wrap his arms around them. Amen. Because you are an example unto them. So the same way that it happens in the natural, that God raises up children, allows them to come into the world. Amen. And he puts them into a family. And that family takes responsibility of training them up. Amen. In the ways of God. Can I get an amen? Now, when they come into full-grown adulthood, and when they get saved, when they are able to make an intelligent decision of their own, and they get saved, amen, they enter into the body of Christ. And then when they enter into the body of Christ, they must, amen, assemble themselves in what we call, somebody say, the local church. And when they come into the local church, guess what? They meet another set of parents. They meet another group of people that's going to help them to grow up in the things of the Lord. Amen. And this is what the fivefold ministry is all about. And this is why I'm talking today, that you got to embrace the gifts. And one thing about it, you never outgrow your parents. You might learn more worldly things and all of those. You might be smarter and more intelligent than them, but they've been around longer than you have. Amen. And so we never outgrow. Don't get me wrong. We come to a level of maturity where we step out on our own, but we never, the Bible says, amen, those that honor their mothers and fathers should have long life. Amen. So you never get big spiritually or in the natural to the point that you forget that you don't honor your mother and your father. Amen. Can I get an amen? I feel my help already showing up. I mean, this ain't stuff I was even going to say. Amen. So the help is already, because I want you to understand this. You need to see this in a very practical realm today. Now, listen to what Paul says here in the one. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be an apostle, you got to be somebody's apostle. And what I'm saying is, you got to be, you know, you just don't label yourself as an apostle. But Paul said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look how he says it here. Not only that, he says, of Jesus Christ by what? The will of God. To what? To the saints which are Ephesus, and to the faithful who are in Christ Jesus. So he says, I was made an apostle, amen, by the will of God. and I'm an apostle up under the authorship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What he said, I'm not doing my own thing here. And so as we move forward in this series of messages today, I'm just going to start, and we're going to deal with embracing the gifts. We're going to have some clarity on the fivefold ministry gifts. Somebody say fivefold ministry gifts. Now, these various offices here, they were appointed, amen, and they were given so that there would be order in the church, amen, that it would be a perfecting, that the things that would be in their proper place and their proper arrangement when it came to the house of the Lord, that things might be complete. This word perfect is also the word complete, perfecting the saints, making them complete, ensuring that they are furnished with everything that they need to do to carry out the plan and the pattern that God has for your life. And this is what we want as parents. When our children are growing up, we want them to be successful, and we want them to be contributing citizens into the society in which they live. Amen. And it's the same thing on the spiritual side. We want them to grow up, and we want them to fulfill the assignment that God has for them. This is the way the prophet said. He says that before you were ordained in your mother's womb, you were ordained to be a prophet. And so what I'm saying unto you, all of us, before we come out of our mother's womb, we were gifted, amen, with a gift that came from above. Amen. And so that gift that came from above, just like your regular talent, your parents see your regular talent and they want to work that talent. If you got a musical gift, if you can play foot, whatever it may be, whatever gifting that you might have had in that way. At the same time, you have a spiritual gift that has been given unto you, and that gift got to be sharpened. And so it's almost like if it's not sharpened, it'll be like handing a kid 5 years old, giving them the car keys and say, I'll see you later on. You hear what I'm saying? Because they have not matured. They haven't grown up to even understand what a car is and the function of a car. You know, every now and then you see something crazy. You see these, you know, they done caught a 12-year-old driving and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? And the best that 12-year-old can do is really destroy something and mess something up and even endanger their own life and also the lives of other people. So what we're going to understand today, that if we must embrace the gifts that God gives unto us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may grow up and mature, that we may be equipped with everything we need to be equipped with to fulfill, amen, the call and the plan that God has upon our life. This is the way Paul says it. Paul says, walk worthy of your vocation. Amen. Hold on. It's here somewhere in the word of the Lord. I won't plan on going there. But he tells them to walk worthy of the vocation in which God has called them unto them. And this vocation is the calling that God has for your life. And he's talking to the Ephesian church to walk worthy of your vocation. So we're going to look at these five gifts today, and we're going to understand them as we leave here, and we want to know how to embrace them. Somebody say embrace the gifts. Amen. So let's look at the first gift here. Turn with me. Let's move back over to, I want us to see something here. Look at verse 8, 2 and 8. 2 and 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to slow it down, amen, so it can get down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Do you see this? Are you there? Amen. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of your own selves. It is what? A gift of God. So you see here that your salvation was a gift. So how you got saved, it was a gift from God. Can I get an amen? Amen. So our salvation came through a gift. Everything that God gives unto us, it comes, it's a gift. Somebody say a gift. So not only was salvation a gift unto you, but I want you to understand that the fivefold ministry is a gift that has been given unto you as well. Amen. So this is why I'm calling this embrace the gifts. This was, so your salvation was a gift. Amen. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in a new tongue. Amen. If you received that, that was a gift. Amen. Hallelujah. There's gifts. Amen. There's foundational gifts in the Bible in Romans chapter 12. Amen. There are manifestation gifts that come through the gifts of the Spirit. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we'll deal with later in the year. So all these gifts that he has given, the first thing you got to do is receive and embrace the gift. Can I get an amen? Just like when we were out in the world, when we got saved, we had to receive that gift. We didn't have to work for it. We had to receive it. And even as you receive that gift, and even as you come into the body of Christ and come into the house of God, you must understand there are some gifts that have been given to the church. That have been given to the church to help grow you up and to mature you spiritually. Amen. Now, I want you to see this. Look, go with me over to 4 and verse 7. 4 and verse 7. 4, Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8. Are you there? It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave what? Gifts unto men. Now, this word gift here is a doma. It's doma, D-O-M-A. It's a Greek word, doma gift, and it's a present. That's exactly what it is. It's a present. So, and they are also called the fivefold ministry gifts, but another thing they're called, somebody say, ascension gifts. Because the Bible says that when he went up, when he ascended, he was going up, mother, and it says he gave gifts unto men. So he gave these gifts unto men. He gave these gifts unto the body of Christ that we may be complete, that we may be perfected, that we may be equipped. Equipped for what, Pastor? Equipped for the work of the Lord. Equipped for the work of the Lord. Young people, I want you to know where you're at right now. Amen. You're growing up. You're in school. I know you don't like those exams and those tests. Some of you don't even like going to school. I know you're dealing with that. Amen. And that's hard for you to deal with. But you know, look, we tell you, you know, you know, there's a saying that says, look, don't be a fool, but you better stay in school. Amen. Because if you get out of school, you will be a fool. Amen. And you don't want to be no fool. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't want to be a fool. So not only do you want to stay in school, children, but even now at your age, you want to start asking God, God, who have you called me to be? Who have you called me to be? Who have you designed for me to be? And I want us, amen, young children, to be excited about that and begin to embrace the gifts. Now, there are gifts that God is going to give unto you to help mature you, but there are also gifts that God wants to give to every one of us. And each one of you in here, you already had a gift that you didn't have to ask for, you didn't have to pay for, you didn't have to do anything. You already have the gift. But he gives you a gift to help perfect the gift that's on the inside of you. Amen? That's just all I'm trying to say. And so we're even here today. When you come to church, you embrace the gift that God gives that will stand up in this platform. It may be me or whoever that will grace this platform to speak and declare the word of the Lord unto you. They are a gift from God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to tell you how you got to treat the gift when we wrap this thing up. But we want to look at these here. We see he says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. These gifts were the fivefold ministry gifts. You've heard me talk about these gifts many times. When we talk about the fivefold ministry gift, hold up your hand. Somebody just hold up your hand like that. Say five. It's the number of grace, isn't it? Five. Now, this is the only week I'm going to talk about this. So this is why you need to get it if you ain't already got it. Amen. I've been taught this so many, at least this piece of it in the house, that we should have it. So this is the fivefold ministry. Now, the Bible calls the hand, amen, the hand of God, the yard of God, amen. There's something about the laying on of hands, amen. The Bible says don't let any man just lay his hands on you. You got to make sure there's something special about the hand and the hand of the Lord, the yard of God. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about, thank you, Holy Ghost. Was it the prophet that was praying for rain and he told him to go back out there and he said, man, I seen a cloud that looked like a hand, amen, the hand of God, the yard of God, the hand. You can put your hand down, amen. Y'all get ready to sway y'all in, amen. So the hand of God, this is the hand. Somebody say the hand of God. Now, let's look at the thumb here. The thumb represents the apostle. Somebody say the apostle. The apostle is the one that governs the house of God. He governs the body. He puts these gifts in the house. Say the apostle governs. Now the apostle is the one, he can touch every other one, right? The apostle would be the one also that sets others in the house. The Bible says first it was the apostles, then it was the prophets, and then it was the teachers. Yeah, that's what it says in the word of God in 1 Corinthians. So you got the apostles, and then this finger here, say the prophet. We're going to talk about each one of these. The prophet, all right? So you got the prophet. The prophet is the one that guides us. Say the prophet guides me. He guides me. I got to have the prophetic voice in my life because I got to know where I'm going. See, I got to have somebody governing me. I got to have someone guiding me because I don't want to guide myself. Amen. I want to grow up in the things of God. And then the third one we see here that sticks out, that's the evangelist. The evangelist. Somebody say the evangelist. The evangelist gathers. Somebody say gathers. There's some folks that just got the gift, they can gather people. You know what I'm saying? That they can gather and they want to be the evangelist. And then we got what we call the ring finger here. This represents what? The shepherd, the pastor, amen? And they guard. Somebody say guard. They guard the flock of God, amen? They guard, they lead them, they take care of them, they feed the flock of God. And then we have the little pinky finger that we don't know what we do with, that pinky finger. And that represents who? The teacher. And the teacher does what? Ground us. That's what the teacher does. It grounds us. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the scriptures. I want us to see some of these here. But I want us to understand that we have to embrace the gifts here. And I want us to understand this as a church body. There are many things that we have in this body that we utilize in this house to help to grow the people of God up. We have foundational classes. These foundational classes are put into place because, and they are taught or written at a level of a very elementary level, because they're written in that way so that the people that we're talking about, souls coming in, that they can get a good foundation. Somebody say a foundation. We're going to understand that the apostles and the prophets, that they laid the foundation. The Bible says that the foundation was laid by the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being what? The chief cornerstone. Amen. So the foundation has to be laid. When you get saved, a foundation has to be laid for you. Just like children, when they come into the world, they come into their parents' house. We as parents, we do what? Lay the foundation. It's the same way when folks get saved and they assemble themselves in the house of the Lord, say a proper foundation has to be laid. And everything that's built, see, the teacher teaches on the foundation that the apostle and the prophet already laid. Oh, y'all need to hear this thing. You hear what I'm saying? And that's why a teacher just can't be doing their own thing. Amen. Now they got to be, the apostle governs all of them. He governs all of them. And so what I'm saying unto you here, we have things in this house so that when people come into this house, no matter how long they've been saved, we want to make sure what? That the foundation is right. That's why we have foundational classes. Look, I don't care how long you've been saved. If you ain't been given no foundation, amen, that you could be all messed up. So we want to ensure that the foundation is properly laid. So we got the foundational classes. We got the preaching of the word as the pastor. I feed the flock of God. I build upon the foundation. I'm also helping it in to lay the foundation or build upon the foundation, which has already been laid. Amen. Of the apostles and the prophets. All right. It's already laid. Now we have the sonship school of the firstborn. Somebody say sonship. School of the firstborn. This school is a year long school. And this is where we make servants into sons. Somebody say sons. We help people to grow up in the things of God. See, whether you understand it or not, God has called the bread of life. This is our vision. To win the lost, to train and equip the army of God to do what? Transform lives and community. So you got to understand what kind of church you in. See, because, see, what I'm saying is God has called the bread of life to do a certain thing. You know what I'm saying? He has put a gifting in this house to do a specific assignment. And this is what the fivefold ministry, this is why he gives the fivefold ministry. They're giving by God to fulfill a purpose and a plan that God has for them in the earth. And it's to fulfill his will. Jesus Christ said, I come to do the work of my Father. I come to finish his work. So we all have an assignment. This house has an assignment. And this house is assigned to win people, to train them up, amen, and place them into the army of God that they may go out and transform lives and communities. And so this is why I preach what I preach. This is why I try to always lay a firm foundation in this house, because God has called us as a church to do what? Lay a foundation. To lay a foundation. This is what he wants us to do, to lay foundation. So that when people get saved, this is a great place for them to come, because this is a teaching church. This is a foundational church. This is the stuff we want to continue to be laid. Amen. We want people to grow up in the things of the Lord. Amen. This is what we want to happen here. So let's take a look at these gifts here. The first one, we see the apostle. And the word apostle means a delegate. A delegate or an ambassador for the gospel, a commissioner for Christ, amen. The apostle, the messenger, it also has the connotation of one that has been sent. And we know that all of the disciples, you got to catch this, all of the disciples, before they were ordained and sent out to be apostles, they were first what? Disciples. And think about this. You might be saying, well, Pastor, I want me one of those gifters. I want the apostle, the prophet. I believe I'm one of them. Amen. Praise God. But the Bible says he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some, amen, evangelists. He gave some pastors. Amen. And he gave some. He didn't give everybody everything. He gave some. And so some folks are called in this realm of this dimension, amen, to be of the fivefold ministry. They're here to lay foundation. They're here to make sure people are brought up. They're here to govern the house of God, the body of Christ, to make sure that people are built on the firm foundation. This is what the apostles do. They have the ability to govern, and they've been sent. Somebody says sent. Now, you must understand this. All of those apostles, think about what happened. They were all chosen. They were all chosen. So before you can move in any of these giftings, first of all, you got to be chosen. He got to choose you. Amen. He says, I didn't choose you. No, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. This is how he said, you have been ordained to what? Be with me. Now, to get one of these, to walk in one of these offices, you got to be with him.
Amen. Say that, Pastor.
You got to be with him. You got to spend some time with him to get one of these things. And not only do you have to be with him, you got to follow him. You got to listen to him. You got to be obedient to him. I see so many young preachers, because I used to be one myself. You know, all we want to do is preach. We got the itch to preach, preach, preach. Just let me preach, preach, preach. Nah, he wants you to sit. He wants you to sit. Because when you think you're ready, you're really not ready. See, we can go preach a good message and get folks excited, but how about your life? See, the gift and callings of God are without repentance. You look, preach, preacher. All preachers can preach. You've been gifted to preach. But the idea is not your preaching. It's your living that God is trying to get together. You could be doing all that preaching, but you got a problem with bringing the correct tithe, the whole tithe. The Bible says bring the whole tithe, not a piece of it, the whole tithe. Most folks are bringing a piece of the tithe. I'm here to tell you. Look, pull your checkbook out. Pull your thing out as you reconcile everything and see if you're bringing to God what you really should be bringing to God. And God said, but that one thing thy lacketh. Woo, here you start. And see, that's why you got to sit and wait. Because God will deal with you in every area of your life. But now we want to preach. We want to teach. We want to evangelize. We want to do all those particular types of things. And this is why when people come into this house, I advise that you sit for a while. No, we want to get into ministry because we was in ministry from where we came at. Nah, this ministry may be different than the ministry. And it's not that ministry was wrong. That ministry had a gifting and a calling that God has assigned them. But this is another house. And it might be another flavor. You know what I'm saying? It's all ice cream. But you got to understand what flavor is going on in this house. We might be vanilla. You coming in here eating chocolate. Talking about I'm ready to do what I'm going to do, but you eating the wrong. Nuh-uh. It's all ice cream, but with vanilla. With a few sprinkles on the top. You hear what I'm saying? Let me just put this down to you. Let me make it plain. Our young people can pick up on this. It's like your kid done been up under the influence of somebody else, and then they come home acting like somebody else. What in the world you done been? Who in the world you hanging out with? Look, that now, what did that influence come from? This is how Paul said it. Paul said it this way over in Galatians. He says, who have bewitched you? He says, that persuasion does not come from the Father. Yeah. He said, nah, you talking different. You walking different. Well, I'm telling you, man, you got to watch who you listening to. Because whoever you listen to, that's who you're going to start sounding like, walking like, and talking like. That's why Jesus Christ said you don't need no man to teach you. Amen. You need the unction to function. You need the Holy Ghost. See, because it's the Holy Ghost that will distinguish those voices for you. They all preaching, but are their foundation together? And this is why we must have this gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we can understand that man, that's a true man, or that's a true woman of God. You will know this because your spirit, man, that gift that God gave that spirit to you to seal you. Not to seal you to them, but to seal you to him. You hear what I'm saying? He gave you that Holy Spirit. So again, it's just like when our kids, when they done went out and they come home, they start talking crazy. Where have you been? This influence didn't come from what I taught you as your parent. You've been hanging around somebody that has a bad influence, a worldly negative influence, doing what they want to do. And then you want to run back up in my house acting like that, rolling with that authority. And I rise up in the name of Jesus. I love you, but I don't love that attitude. I don't like that spirit that you got on you. Amen. And it's the same way in the house of God. People can rush out in the house of God with all kind of spirits upon them. And this is why that everyone should sit for a while. I've learned that lesson. Because if they can't sit, amen, they're going to quit. They say, well, I guess I go to the next show in town. I'm going to the next place where I can get entrance for free. Right. Yeah, you can come on in here for free. Amen. But I want you to understand this, that this is why he gave the fivefold ministry to help complete, to furnish the house of God correctly, to lay that foundation. And he gave this office of the apostle, amen, to govern. He's the sent one. And again, if you aspire to be any of these, or if you feel like this is your gifting, you got to understand there's a timing and a season. God will reveal it to you. Amen. Do you remember this? This is the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time. We're going to go to some scripture. But the Apostle Paul, you remember he had got, in a sense, saved. And he went out to start preaching to the lost sheep of Israel. And they didn't receive him. They said, boy, this is this fool that was persecuting people, putting people in jail. And God had to speak to him and say, shut your mouth. I got to go see you over here somewhere. This is what he told him. He says, I'm setting you apart, or setting you aside to send you forth to who? The Gentiles. He has an assignment upon his life. And then Barnabas, amen, Barnabas with himself, Barnabas, he later on went and got him and said, come on now. And they went down to Antioch, amen. And the Bible said they taught there for a whole year. Barnabas, amen, and the apostle there, he was laying foundation. God has sent, he says, this was at the first place in which they were called Christians down there. And he had, amen, Paul with him, and Paul taught for a whole year down there. See, the apostle, see, every one of the fivefold ministry gifts must have the ability to teach. If they're a pastor, prophet, whatever they may be, they all must have the ability to teach the word. Amen. To teach the word of God. Amen. They all got to be teachers. So we see here the gift of the apostle is sent forth. It establishes churches. It lays down the truth. Amen. The foundation for people's lives, much like the parents do. Look at me in Ephesians 2 and 20, since we're in the neighborhood. 2 and 20. I want to hammer this point home. 2 and 20. Are you there? It says, look at verse 19. He says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Now he's talking to the church at Ephesus. And he says, you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the what? The household of God. Look, verse 20. And are built upon what? The foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Amen. Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up unto a what? A holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also also built together for what? An habitation of God, what? Through the Spirit. So we are all, see, he was talking about you at Ephesus, you are all, you have been one, and now you're placed in the body as well. And you all are fitly framed up in here. You're being all built up into this temple in which the Spirit of God is going to dwell. And so this is what's happening in the house of God. People come to church. One of the reasons they should come to church is to grow up. Somebody said to grow up. To mature in the things of God. To mature in the things of God. The Bible says there's going to come a time that people do not want to hear the doctrine. Amen. But that what they want to hear, they want to hear itching. They want to be itching ear Christians. They want to hear what's going to tickle their fancy and going to allow them to live how they living. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're living in an hour and a time that the house of God need to be preaching the word of God. So that people can come out of their sin. So that people can know that God is a real God. Somebody got to preach them. Somebody got to lift them up. And so we got to understand what kind of house we are being built into. And he says, you got to have this. He says, you need to have this in your life. You got to understand who you are in the body of Christ here. Now, I want you to see a few things here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I want you to see a few other things about the apostle, and then we're going to pick up the pace. 1 Corinthians. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter, we're talking about embracing the gifts. Somebody say, I got to embrace the gifts of God. I'm talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. You got to embrace these gifts. And what I'm saying to you, you cannot ever get to a place where you don't feel like you need to have these gifts influencing your life. We all need them to grow up and to continue to grow into things of God. Are you at 1 Corinthians? What do we say? Go to chapter 4. Amen. Go to chapter 4. Well, I tell you what, go to 3 first, and then we get to chapter 4. 3 and 10. Go to chapter 4, 3, verse 10. Then we're going to go to chapter 4. You're at 3 and 10. Amen. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, this is Paul. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth their own. But let every man that take heed how he what buildeth their own. Look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. This is why I always tell you that when if you go into a house of God, wherever you go into church, if they ain't preaching Jesus, you need to get your Bible and get up out of there. Amen. I'm telling you, they got to be preaching Jesus, because Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, and our goal is to get everybody to the Father. See, this is how Paul said. Paul said that he was given the ministry of reconciliation. And that's the same ministry that we have. To reconcile is to reconcile people back to God. So this thing got to be about him. And so when it's about him, it's about us redeeming or reconciling people, amen, back to him, amen. This is what this is all about. This is what church and this is what the house of the Lord is all about. It's about reconciling. But he says, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stuff, that'll preach right there. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed what? By fire, and the fire shall try what? Every man's work of what sort it is. So everything that you build upon this foundation, preacher, teacher, apostle, whatever you want to call yourself, amen, disciple, everything you build upon it, it's going to be tried by the fire. Yeah, it will be tried by the fire. Look at verse 14. It says, if any man works abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall what? Receive a reward. But look what he says, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You hear that, boy? God is so graceful and merciful unto us. He's graceful and merciful unto us. Amen. Let's look over at go with me to chapter. I want you to look at chapter 4, verse 15. You see here? And this is the apostle speaking here, the apostle Paul. You're at 15, 4 and 15? He says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many what? Fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have what? Begotten you what? Through the gospel. This is the apostle speaking here. And you know he was the gospel globetrotter, the Apostle Paul was. He said, you can have many instructors, but no, you ain't got many fathers. And he says, I am one of the fathers. As an apostle, apostles are fathers of the faith. They're an apostle. My pastor is an apostle. And he ain't just an apostle just to be named an apostle. He walks in the office of an apostle. He wasn't called. He didn't become apostle when he first got saved or first preached. He was in the ministry at least 20, 24, 25 years before he even took on the mantle of the apostle. You know what I'm saying? And he's an apostle and he's a sent one. He oversees over 500 churches. He governed churches through an ecclesiastical group of people. And so he walks in this office of an apostle. Amen. And so I submit, this ministry is submitted unto him. I allow him to govern this ministry. I'm a pastor and flowing in other gifts, but at the same time, I know what God has called me to be. But I ain't got to show my cards. You hear what I'm saying? I'm just going to be who he called me to be. I'm going to be a servant and a son. Amen. I'm not worried about tags and titles. Sometimes we get caught up in tags and titles. This is why everybody run around here with all these tags and titles, but they don't have the fruit of it. They don't have the fruit of it because it's all about tags and titles. We don't want it to be about that. We want to grow up and mature in the things of God here. So I want us to see this. Go back to the book of Ephesians. Oh, gosh, I'm running out of time. See, this is a teaching message here. This is not one of these going to shout you down, run around the building, amen. You're going to get your car and all that. No, that's not what this is about. This is laying foundation. And this is the foundation that you need to have in your life. So when you do see somebody and they're shaking you. You're ready to give away everything. And it might not be the Lord. You got to know. You got to check folk out. You hear what I'm saying? You'll know, but the Spirit of God really bears witness to, just like there is an apostle, there's a false apostle. Just like there's prophets, there's false prophets. There's false evangelists. There's false pastors. There's false teachers. Amen. There's a counterfeit to everything that God has established in the earth. I know the children, I know y'all can recognize sometime. You ever recognize when a teacher, children, I want y'all to, you ever recognize children that's in school? You ever recognize somebody that hadn't been called to teach? You know, can you ever say, it's like this, you know, maybe they should have chosen another profession. Because they can go to such and such class and they are anointed to teach. This is just what they do. And in the other class, it's like the teacher is having to put up with the kids. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They weren't called to do it, but they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? And the last thing you want to be is in something that you have not been called to do. There would be frustration in your life if you hadn't been called to do it. It could be a job, whatever it is. But boy, then I like the people that know what they've been called to do. I mean, if it's something as simple as shining shoes, amen, cutting hair, whatever it may be. My brother, he cut hair. He said, Pastor, I ain't been called to do that. You better get out of it if you ain't been called to do it. Nah, he does it, amen. But God gracious us to do the things that we do him. So we understand this about the apostle. They govern. Say, the apostle governs. Now, I want you to understand this, and I'm not going to stay here too much more than the apostle. I'm going to say this. I wanted to go to these scriptures. We're going to say this. There was twice in the book of Ephesians that Paul prayed. Now, if we go over, we're not going to turn to Acts chapter 6. This is what it says here. Acts chapter 6, we talked about this last week, when people were upset because they were not getting fed. You remember that? The people, the widows were not getting their daily ministration, their food, mother, they weren't getting it. And it said people got upset about it. But the apostles, they were together and they said, look, gather the people and choose you out of 7 men so that we may do what? So that we may pray and do what? Minister the word. That we may pray in the reading of the word or the ministry of the word. This is the primary ministry of the apostle. Prayer and the reading of the word. That's the primary ministry of the apostle. Prayer and the reading of the word. See, they got to pray so that they can have the wisdom of God to govern the people of God. They got to pray so that they can have the insight to have the oversight. This is what an apostle does. They are people of prayer and people that study that word of God. People of prayer and the reading of the word of God. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, we're not going to go there, but you look in Ephesians in your own time. The apostle Paul, he prayed for them. He prayed for them twice. He prayed for them. The first time he prayed that they would have revelation and knowledge of who he is. And then he prayed the second time that they would know the length, the breadth, the width, the depth of God and God's love. He prayed for them. He prayed for them that they would be equipped, amen, that they would understand the spiritual things of God, that they would grow up in the things of God. Not only would they be equipped, but he prayed that they would be empowered. This is the prayer of the apostle. The apostle, he wants everybody to grow up. So when we grow up, we can go out. Amen. We can win so that when people come in, we all can help them what? Grow up together. Now, who in here might have grew up in a family of 13, 14 siblings? Anybody? 11, 10? I mean, okay, you had a lot of siblings. Now, Elder Ware, you were on the back end. Were you the baby? God, my God. And how many was in your family? 11. It was 11 in the family. Now, check this out and give it to you in the natural. Here go. This is why everybody got to grow up. Because when God brings them in, because when he brings them in, he's going to bring them more than one at a time. He'll bring them here. They'll start flooding in here. And the pastor's going to be like, well, what is he going to do? He says, nah, this is why I call you to feed the flock of God that you have so that they can grow up. Why are they going to grow up? So they can help. Yeah. Hey, what you talking about, Pastor? Think about this. Teresa was on the end. She was a baby. How many? 11? 11. I guarantee you more than her mother than father her. I bet that older sister, that older brother, I believe them on that end there too. They did a little bit of discipline too. I know mama said, look at here, boy, I'm trying to keep up with the rest of these. I need y'all to help me with the back end of these. You hear what I'm saying? But I guarantee you, and it was a shame if they weren't trained by mom and daddy. You know how they'll go off on you. And I'd rather have mom and daddy get hold to me than my big brother, my big sister, because they don't know how to temper themselves. They ain't even got no feelings about the thing. You hear what I'm saying? See, the apostle has the shepherd's heart as well. And so you just can't release anybody to the children. You can't release anybody to the new people that's coming in. Everybody can't put their hands on everybody. And this is why the apostle of the house, then he sets the leadership in the house, because they help not only govern the house, but they help also to deal with the people when they come in. Because you can't loose every brother and every sister on everybody. You cannot do that. Because some of these brothers and sisters, amen, look, nah, amen, they got a little rough around their edges still, amen. And don't get me wrong, we ain't putting them out. We still praying for them. We loving on them. See, they've been worked on too. You hear what I'm saying? So the apostle governs, sets in order the things of God. They pray. They're people of prayer so that when they stand up, they can declare the very oracles of God. And they study to show themselves approved to God. A workman that need not be ashamed, but rightfully died in the word of truth. Somebody say the prophet. Now the prophet is one that foretells. Somebody say foretells. He is one that speaks on the behalf of God, who speaks for God to man. Now, I always like to say that, see, somebody can have a gift of prophecy, and a gift of prophecy you can see, amen, based on the conditions. You can see it, you know, see, like the weatherman can see, all right, you got a cold front and a warm front coming together, there's going to be some thunderstorms, amen? See, they can do that. See, but so they can see from the ground up. Somebody say the ground up. We teach in the house of God, the prophet can see from the ground down. Somebody say for the ground down. They can see what everybody else can't see. And they're gifted like this. They have that prophetic gift on them. There's a brother, he's not here today, but we were just sitting down with this couple here on Tuesday. And we got through and he looked at me. He says, Pastor, do you know one Sunday you said something to me? Right in the midst of the service. I remember it too. Right in the midst of the service, I spoke a word to this young man. It was a word, and what I'm saying to you, that I don't claim to be no prophet, but God can use me how he want to use him. You hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying, I spoke a word to that young man, and this is what this young man tell me weeks, months later. He says, Spouse, I got to ask you a question. He says, how do you know I was going through what I was going through? He said, I was going through a very difficult time that week. And you came and the very word that you spoke in the midst of that service, it was almost like I did a time out in the service that day. It was in the midst of my preaching. And I said, God got a word for you, because God had already given me the word, and I needed to deliver it. I just didn't know when to deliver. Right in the middle of the message, I delivered the word. And months later, he tells me, he says, Pastor, you spoke exactly to the situation that I was dealing with. And I said, well, glory be to God. What I'm saying is, I didn't know what was going on in this young man's life. I don't hang out with him, not close to him, but what? God knows. See, what I'm saying is, the prophet sees from what? The ground down. Other folks can see, well, yeah, he's having some hard luck. He's slumping. I didn't see any of that. The Lord showed me and revealed that unto me. And he does that through all of you. He just don't use the preacher to do this, but he does it through all of you. So the gift of the prophet, somebody say, it's to foretell. It's to guide us. Amen. God comes through them to speak into the body. And so this is why we always got to have a prophetic voice in our life. Amen. Men at Teen Challenge, you're struggling with some staff member up there because they all don't act the light. And they ain't going to all act the light. They got different giftings in their life. And those giftings are put there, amen, to help you grow up and mature in the things of God. You might have one that's always saying, oh, I'm so merciful for you, I'm going to pray with you. The other one might say, look, tighten up your boots, tighten up your belt, and get your butt together. And you sitting there, you all perplexed. Why? Well, I got one that's nice to me and this other one that's like this. They got two different giftings. And you got to receive those giftings, amen, because both of them are needed for you. One of them is time when somebody need to be merciful for you, and the other one is when somebody say, nah, get your act together, sucker. Yeah. But you must understand this about the prophet. The prophet will always uplift, edify, build up, amen. See, because the fivefold ministry is all about laying foundation and what? Building up. They ain't going to tear down, they're going to build up. See, when you got a false prophet, the false prophet is always tearing down, always critical with their word from the word from the Lord, say he going to cut off your leg if you don't bring the tithe. You hear what I'm saying? That ain't the Lord. That's not the Lord's doing. So you got to make sure of the prophetic voice that you hear. The prophetic voice that you hear is always going to allow you to edify you, to build you up, to grow you up, to mature you, to move you forward in the things of God. The prophetic voice. We're going to go to a place here soon, and we're going to see all of them. So we got the, what, the apostle, we got the prophet, and then we got the evangelist. Amen? And my boy, Philip the evangelist. That Philip, he was bad. The Bible said he went down there and he preached, man, signs, wonders, and miracles following him. He had the ability to gather people. You know what I'm saying? The evangelists, they have that knack to gather. And everybody's not an evangelist. And sometimes we put this up on people. Well, why ain't all the people going out? Why ain't ever? Nah, the folks that's going to go out and do SWAT going to be the evangelists. Amen. See, the evangelists, they're going to gather. See, we need everybody. See, they can gather, but they can't govern. Oh, my God. They can go get people all day long. They can bring people in and all that, but they can't govern the people. See, this is why there's never going to be anything of you on your own island. I'm evangelist such and such, and I got this going on. Look, you better shut that little thing down and get yourself connected to somebody. See, there's nothing wrong with the traveling evangelist, but the evangelist got to have a house that they're up under. You know what I'm saying? That they're connected to, that they're going to on a regular basis. So when the evangelist in town, the evangelist need to be at church. I'm home on my sabbatical. Well, I ain't seen you at church. I'm resting. Now bring your butt to church, amen? To get back up under your apostolic authority. So the prophet of the house can speak to you and lead you and guide you and direct you, amen, to show you where your next step's supposed to be at, amen? We got to have these forces in our life. We got to have the apostolic, amen, ministry in our life. We got to have the prophetic voice in our life. And we got to have the evangelist. The evangelist keeps the house stirred up, hey, my God. You got to have an evangelist in the house. Nene is an evangelist. That's Nene Collins. She keeps us stirred up, does she not? We looked last year, and I'm not trying to brag and boast on Nate, but we're bragging and boasting on the Lord. Last year, when we looked at how many who invited the most people to church that physically came, it was Nate that brought them. See, that affirms the message of the gifting of the evangelist. They're going to gather people. They'll bring them, and they'll bring them in here. And this is how Nate. Nate, I get them here, Pastor. You just got to do what you got to do. You got to do the work. That's the work of the evangelist. They gather them. They have the ability to gather them and to bring them. And that's what the evangelist is supposed to do. The evangelist will go out and get them when nobody else wants to go out. The evangelist is going to do it. And they're moving with signs, wonders, and miracles following them. Amen. Because they got to have those things out there so that the people will wake up and hear the Lord. And then they get saved. But after they get saved, after that they get the evangelism get on them, then they got to be equipped. It's like catching the fish, then somebody else got to clean it. Amen. I ain't never like cleaning them. I like catching them. I used to take them things to my grandma, clean them fins. That stuff popping all up in her face, amen. Cut that head off. Oh, God. You know, but I could catch it, take the hook out of his mouth, but I could take the grandma, look, I see her, oh, grandma, what you doing? She cut the head off, gut that thing out, cut them thing out, but she laid in that grease, baby. Lord, my God, and give me some light bread. It's over with. Amen. Woo, and don't forget my Texas Pete hot sauce. I done lost all of y'all now. Y'all ready to eat? Y'all ready to get out of here? But what I'm saying is it takes a team to fulfill the dream. The apostle, the prophet, the what? The evangelist. And then we get to what? The pastor. We need the pastor. Amen. The pastor got to be in the house. The shepherd got to be in the house. The shepherd, I tell you, see, it's when they get into the house. I said this last week. It's the shepherd that has to give them the tough love. It's the shepherd that's always walking with them. The evangelist can get them in here. The apostle is governed from a high. The prophet is speaking the word of God into their lives. But it's the shepherd that got to walk with them. It's the shepherd when they crying and lying. It's the shepherd, amen, that got to meet with them, amen, when all the hell going on in their life. It's the shepherd that got to feed the flock of God. It's the shepherd that's walking with them, amen, in the valley, on the mountaintop. It's the shepherd. It's the shepherd that got to go out and get them when they lost. It's the shepherd that got to keep calling and said, I ain't seen you last week. How you been doing? What's going on in your life? It's the shepherd that's praying for them. It's the shepherd that got the guard, the flock of God. It's the shepherd that will protect them, amen, for a man that don't need to be in their life. It's the shepherd that will protect them from a man that got the wrong woman in their life. You know what I'm saying? It's the shepherd that's going to protect the flock. Going to guard them. And this is why everybody need to have, you need to know who your pastor is. Oh yeah, don't be done. I'm flowing. I'm in between. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He got you a shepherd in the earth too. You can quote Psalm 23 all day long. He is your shepherd. But he gives you a shepherd in earth. And this is why it's important for us to be a part of a body. You don't want to be standing outside of the body because you need the body and the body needs you. And you got to, I've said this before about being a part of the body. See, all of us are different body parts. If you're an arm and if your arm say, all right, well, I ain't getting with that. I'm just going to stay outside the body. Well, you got to understand this. The body going to survive without the arm. But the arm cannot survive without the body. Try it and see what I'm talking about. Cut your arm off, amen. You can go get this patched up, that thing. You know it's going to dry up and shrivel up. But you got to be a part of the body. Say, I need a pastor and I must be a part of the body of Christ. It's called a local church. Amen. Yes, sir. You got to get your local church to go to. And you don't need to be schizophrenic. You need to be there every time the doors are open. Don't got that. I got my first and third and my second and fourth. My fifth, I stay home. Nah. You need to be in the house of the Lord. You need to be shepherded. And the shepherd, he feeds the flock of God. And he's an example unto the flock of God. Amen. And I'm not just talking about he, I'm talking about she. I mean, a woman can be an apostle. They can be an evangelist. They can be, amen, all of these things that I'm doing. And then lastly, we talk about the teacher. The teacher. The teacher is the one that grounds us. And I said earlier that we all should be teachers. We all should be teachers. All these fivefold ministry gifts should have the ability to teach. Amen. I'm thinking about Paul. Paul told Timothy, he told him, Timothy was a pastor, but he told him to do the work of the evangelist. And then it's over in Paul, where Paul lays out all the things. He says, he that desires to be a bishop or an overseer, and maybe we'll get into that later in the year, an overseer, he says, let him be apt to teach. Amen. So what I'm saying is every one of these giftings must have the ability to teach the people of God. And the teacher, though, that teacher, they have that gifting to teach. And the Bible talks, Paul talks about this. Paul said that there was some that taught the lawlessness of God, and they didn't even teach it right. Amen. And it was some that were taking people even away from the word of God. And so we must be careful of the teaching that we submit ourselves unto. You got to be careful of what you've been taught. These new and strange doctrines that people come up with. And it'll get a hold of you. Amen. And you'll start believing it. You'll start talking about it. You'll start getting into it. Amen. But this is why you must be in a place that is continually laying a firm foundation. Amen. Now, I want to say this in closing to you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Because I want to close with sharing with you of how we are to receive these gifts. We're talking about embracing the gifts. Embracing the gifts. So what's our response to the fivefold ministry gift? I know that God have apostles. I didn't even scratch the surface even talking about some of this stuff. I wanted to go over to, I think it was the book of Acts. I couldn't even get over there where they were all together. It was Philip, and Paul was at his house. My God, you hear what I'm saying? The apostle was at the house of Philip. And the Bible says Philip had four daughters that could prophesy. They were prophets. You hear what I'm saying? But there was another prophet that came over to the house. Yes, sir. He showed up, and the man of God, he picked up the girdle. And he says, whoever girdle this is. And yet it was a prophet, and he declared a word on that prophet. And it wasn't a word that you wanted to hear either. It was a word that whoever's carrying this, if they go down to Jerusalem, they're going to be in prison instead of. And then they try to convince Paul through the word that came from the prophet. Yes, sir. The prophet came to the evangelist's house. You hear what I'm saying? The evangelist said, this is how they all work together. I believe the evangelist had a house full of folk just sitting around. He not only that, he had the apostle that was hanging out there, had the apostle Paul that was hanging there, and his four daughters that could prophesy. See, but I thought about this, the four daughters that could prophesy. Well, why did another prophet had to show up? Because there was a seasoned prophet versus the prophets that were in the house. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? They were still up under the tutelage of their daddy. You know what I'm saying? They had giftings, amen, but he said, nah, you got to sit for a while. I believe Philip had four daughters sitting in his house that could prophesy and prophesy well, but they needed a prophet, a sure enough prophet, would to come over there, and that prophet walked up in there and spoke a word about that girdle. And this is what the Bible says. It says all the people tried to convince Paul. Paul, don't go down to Jerusalem based on the word that came from the prophet. And everybody knew the word to be true. But they tried to convince him because the prophet was foretelling what was going to happen. If whoever owns this girdle right here, if you go down there, you're going to be in prison. Amen. And Paul, the Bible says, Paul said, look, he told him, look, let it be what it may be. I got to go down there to fulfill my assignment. See, this is the gifting of the apostle. The apostle got to do what God told them to do. Even if it means that my life is going to end. Even if it means, amen, I'm separating myself. I'm going down where he tell me to go down to. And the apostle will say, well, thank you for the prophetic word. I needed to know that. But guess what? I'm still going down there. Even when I know what the end going to be, I'm still going down there. Because some folks got to be wind down there. Because Paul wrote some, he wrote some letters. Ephesus, he wrote Colossians. He wrote all those letters why he was in jail. Some of the meanest writing that Martin Luther King done was in jail. And he knew it. He knew. He was a modern day apostle. He knew. He said, I've been to the mountaintop. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? He ain't physically been there. He been there in the spirit realm. He was a prophet. He already done stepped up in there, done been to the mountaintop, done looked over, done seen what was coming, knew that his life wasn't going to be much longer. I'm telling you, man, when you walk in this stuff here, brother, I'm telling you, and this is the toolage This is what we need to be up under. I'm telling you, we don't just don't need to be having no casual Sunday at church. Nah, man, you got to come up in here ready to receive from the God, Lord. I don't know what you came for the church today, but if nothing else, look, I came to straighten it out today. Amen. That's what the Lord, he wants to straighten out some things in our lives. He wants to get the foundation right in our lives. And he says, look, I want you to continue to build. He wants you to build your life because he wants you to fulfill the plan that he has for your life. I'm closing here. What's our response to the fivefold ministry gift? What's the response to the giftings? Look at Hebrews chapter, you're in 13. Look at verse 7. It says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their behavior. What he's saying here, he says, remember them. Pay respect and honor them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. It says, whose faith follow? Follow their faith, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Look at verse 24. It says, salute all of them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they that of Italy salute you. So you see this. It says, salute them that rule over you. Obey them. Remember them. Honor them. This is what we need to do. Not only that, we need to pray for them. Somebody say, we need to pray for the leader. You got to pray for the leader that's bringing the word. You got to pray for him that they're going to do it with the fear of the Lord, that they're going to do it with the eminence. They're going to bring the book. Amen. The Bible says in Nehemiah, when he stood in the pulpit, the people stood up when he opened the book. Somebody say, he got to open the book. Wherever you're going to church at, your pastor got to open the book. Got too many folk around here, they think it is smooth that they ain't got to open the book. Now the children need the book to be open. The book got to be open so folks can follow along in the book. Amen. So you got to pray. You got to pray for the son. Not only that, I got to pray for him. I got to submit to their oversight. Amen. It's an attitude of yielding with love in your heart. Amen. You ain't want to be went well, like, you know how your kids do sometimes. I'm going to shut my mouth because I got to, but they boiling on the inside. You know, they got their mouth cold. You don't need to be like that with your man of God or woman of God. You see what I'm saying? No, you need to submit and you need to yield in love. You don't need to be like, boy, if I could just get my hands on you, if I could tell you something, I'll tell you something. Nah. If you got a pastor you feel that way about, now it's time to look. You better pack up. First of all, check your heart first, though. before you jet, check your heart. So I need to pray for him. I need to submit to him. I need to esteem and respect my leader. Yeah, you got to do that. See, I was saying that March is March gladness. Somebody say March gladness. The first thing is, I'm glad that I'm saved. I got something to be glad about. I'm glad that I'm saved. Not only am I glad that I'm saved, I'm glad about the church that I go to. Not only that, I'm glad about my pastor that I had. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to be glad about what you're doing. You got to be glad about that you say. You got to be glad that you got a pastor that's feeding you the word of God. You got to be glad that you got a pastor that ain't itching your ears and trying to make you feel good in your sin, but trying to bring you up out of your mess. You got to be excited about that. And you got to care about that. Say respect for my leader. The fourth thing, so say pray, submit, esteem and respect. The fourth thing is, you can't gossip about your leader. What you saying, Pastor? I'm going to let y'all know this, the people that's in this house. Amen. I want you to understand this. Do this for your own good. If there's somebody in this house talking about the pastor of this house in your presence, you need to correct them right on the spot. You need to correct them right on the spot. You need to correct them right on the spot. What I'm saying, pull them to the side. You ain't got to. Don't be slinging with both guns. Pull them to the side and say, you know that's wrong. Pull it down. And I tell you, I done walked this road before. Well, I had a leader. Somebody I had set as a leader in this house. And took people out to lunch and talked about me and Pastor Angela like dirty dogs. Not just the one, several different couples. And he was my leader. You hear what I'm saying? There was an insurrection taking place in the camp. And I had a prayer leader. She was the young lady that was leading prayer in the house of God. He done took her and hoodwinked her. We come to intercessory prayer one Saturday. This person don't normally come to prayer. He shows up. She's here. They open up the back door. They casting out devils and demons off the pastors. Witchcraft. Right up in the house of God. So you need to hear what I'm saying here. See, when I was young, but God had to take me through that as a pastor, as a young man. See, you got to go through some things in this thing. You got to understand, amen, these things. You got to understand that tricks are for kids sometimes. You got to understand these types of things. And I've learned this. I'm telling you, y'all need to know this. I don't care how smooth and how groovy they come up in here. I've learned this, amen, in my walk with God. When people come to the house of God, they don't come to help me. I come to help them. Yeah. Oh, you need to understand that. Yeah. How I'm going to be the pastor. No. I come to help you out. I don't care how anointed or how gifted you are. God sent me over this house to feed the flock of God. And if you're in this house, guess what? You're part of the flock of God. I don't care what title. I don't care what tag you got. Amen. I come to help you out. And it's not me. It's him that's working on the inside of me. Somebody say this. Say, all of us need some help. That's right. All of us need some help. Now, I need to shut this down because time. I need to shut this down. I want y'all to understand this. Don't put your pastor in a box. I can come up in here with the apostles anointing up on me on a Sunday. Sometime I can come in here as the pastor. So what I'm saying is I have to move in how he wants me to move. And this is the freedom I want to give unto you. You got to be who God has created you to be. But you got to understand that there's an ordained, ordered way to do it in the house of God. You hear what I'm saying? If you can prophesy, I want you to prophesy. But there's a way to do it. You just don't stand up and go off. Now, you come to the leader of the house. Me, Pastor Angela, the elder, whatever. I got a word from the Lord. And then if they ask you to hear the word, they hearing the word because they want to know that the word lines up with the word. Amen. And then when it lines up with the word, amen, that word will go forth. Until you sometimes have been in the house for a while and you're seasoned and we know who you are. You hear what I'm saying? And if you got a word, we trust that it's a word. I ain't got to hear it first. But we got to understand how things will get done in the house of the Lord. See, this thing could double and triple in size and blow up. And if it ain't no order in it, it'll be like a zoo. It'll be crazy up in there. Y'all be wondering who the pastor, who doing what, who the leaders in there. They done took over the church down there at Bread of Life. I'm telling you, look, this thing already been taken over. He already took it over. You know what I'm saying? God already took this thing over. Amen. And if anybody going to take it, he already got it. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody else take it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm here to tell you because I was a pastor after God's own heart. He removed that thing up out of here. He removed all that stuff up out of here. I'm telling you, man, that thing hurt me for a while. That thing did something to me. Insurrection. One of the people that you love and give your heart to bought them furniture and all of that, and they turn on your mother. They turn on you like that. They was false when they walked in the door, the Lord told me. And let me tell you the beauty about this thing. I'm going to shut it down. Let me tell you the beauty about this thing. Here go the blessing of it. Every false thing or wrong thing that we've had to come in this house, God showed somebody else through a dream, through a vision. I got attacked. I'm going to close with this testimony. I got attacked one morning in here. The Lord already showed me. He showed me. It was Easter Sunday was coming. It was after intercessory prayer. This is what the Lord told me. He says, you're going to go to prayer on Saturday, and you're going to be attacked. You're going to be, he told me, and he told me who was going to do it. And this is what he told me. He says, when it happens, I just want you to get on the cross and shut your mouth. I'm telling you. We had intercessory prayer that morning, and everybody left except that one person that the Lord showed me. Pastor Angela was here. She stood there, and I knew it was getting ready to happen. I lay down on this thing right in front of that cross there, and I shut my mouth. And I could not believe the things that come out of this woman's mouth, the woman that we had established to be our prayer leader a year or so ago. Because this false prophet had got into her mind, telling her what she wanted to hear. And we didn't know it was all connected until it all fell apart. She left, he left. But I'm telling you, let me tell you what happened. God showed me what was going to happen. And he said, son, just lay on the cross. And I laid down there. And I had never took anything. My wife, she stood right there. I had told her. And I knew it was only the patience of God. Pastor Andrew could have jumped on that girl and pulled her hair out. The stuff that she was saying about her husband. And I'm telling you, I just laid there. I got up. On the way home, I get a phone call from my brother. He's on vacation in Minnesota. He calls me. He says, man, I just got a call from a pastor friend of mine in Ethiopia. And he had a vision that he was being attacked, my twin brother. And I've been telling my twin brother what was going on in the church because I needed somebody to talk to. And I have been sharing with him. And so my brother calls me. He knew that he went up under attack, but he says, I believe that's my brother that's being attacked in this vision. Do you know that my brother, when he had called me 4 hours earlier, I had just got the attack. I knew the attack was coming. But God used somebody in Ethiopia to call my brother, and he had had a dream. Now, let me tell you what long story short of it. See, the attack was twofold, because that was not only that attack, but then on Sunday came the second attack. It came the other person. And the Lord showed me right then. He says, yep. Now, somebody had already had a dream of two snakes that were in the house, and one came in first, and the other one came in afterwards. Somebody had already had a dream of the snakes that revealed that. That Sunday, after the service on Sunday, one of the perpetrators coming here had never wore a suit all their life into the service. Actually, I always come in here with a white suit on, white head to toe with white shoes on, say, I got 10 words I got to tell the people of God. And I said, well, and boy, we was in high praise in here. And I told him, I said, well, it'll be after service. No sooner I said it, the Holy Ghost said, it ain't going to be at all. That's what the Holy Ghost told me, said, it wasn't going to be at all. So I told him after service, look, brother, this is not going to happen. We get in that office back there, brother, have a showdown at the OK Corral. Brother, I come closer to jumping up on that brother. You hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, because God had revealed I had been hurt, had been just talked about the day forward prior, and the Lord revealed it to me, the second snake, and it was him. And I'm telling you, let me tell you what happened. I'm going to make the long story short. I talked to my brother the following week I said, man, you would never happen. The guy from Ethiopia, we all get on the phone, three-way call, me, my brother, and the guy from Ethiopia. The guy from Ethiopia described a brother down to the T, described him what he looked like, height, wore glasses, bald-headed, all the way down to the T that this prophet of God was foretelling an event that Howard did. You see what I'm saying? So what you saying, Pastor? I know this stuff to be real. I know God will raise up prophets to call you and tell you something to foretell an event that's getting ready to happen. You know what I'm saying? I know God raises up apostles. And what I'm saying is God was only preparing us, amen, for that which is to come. And we had some stuff that done come since then. We done had the wolf come in the house. We done had Jezebel up in the house. We done had all of those type of things coming out. What I'm saying, when they come up in the house, we already done seen it. We know what they look like, sound like, walk like, quack like. If it's walk like a duck, quack like a duck, mother, it's a duck. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. I'm telling you, you'll know them by the fruit. So what I'm saying until you look, you just better be who God called you to be. Because if you're anything else, you ain't going to look like the child of God. You're going to look counterfeit. You're going to look, see, I'm telling you, stand out, amen. See, darkness cannot blend in with light. Sooner or later, I'm telling you, it got to come to light. It got to come to light. I'm going to say this in close to every one of you. You must understand this. The wolf will come in this house again. And this is what the wolf will do. The first thing the wolf going to do, he's going to come and see what the shepherd like. If you got a little lazy pastor, amen, that wolf will sit up in here and he's going to take and devour everybody that just got one foot in and one foot out. One person that's limping, that ain't living for the Lord. He's going to grab you and he's going to take you on your way. And your life will never be the same. You hear what I'm saying? But when there's a strong shepherd in the house, that shepherd gonna fight if he have to. That fight, and he ain't fighting physically, he's fighting in the spirit. He praying, amen. He's seeing that particular thing. Your brothers and sisters got aware of that thing. We ain't letting you go. We ain't letting the devil have you. And this is the type of house that this house got to be, because when God brings folk up in here, the devil going to be fighting to get them and to take them back. And we got to be strong people of God. We got to know in who we believe. We got to know, we got to be pillars in the house of God. I'm telling you, this is the hour and the time that we're living in as a church that got to be strong men and women of God. I'm telling you, man, you got to get your backbone straight. You got to put on your arm, your soldier gear, and you got to be able to walk for God. Every top got to stand on its own bottom. Let us stand to our feet today. My God. Oh, my God.